Yes, it's Pet Chat, and I'm joined by Dr. Fiona Giblin today. Hello.
How are you, Amanda?
Good, thank you. Good to have you. Now, what are we talking about today?
Well, I'd love to have lots of calls from our listeners to fill our hour, but if we do get the time, I'd love to talk about obesity in pets.
Because I guess you'd see a lot of pets with
very much so. Yeah, I mean, it, you know, it's probably similar to the general people population, you know. So, yeah, hopefully some tips and tricks that will be helpful.
And we've got Denise from East Maitland on the line. Thanks for holding, Denise.
Yes, you're welcome.
Now, your mini poodle had kennel cough?
Yes.
Tell me more, Denise.
Well, he's 15-year-old and I took him to the vet. A friend of mine, their puppy, had kennel cough.
Ah, yes.
And so then my puppy got it around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I took him to the vet and the vet diagnosed kennel cough.
Yes. And so she's had some antibiotics, is that right?
She has had antibiotics and another medication. I don't know what that was.
Okay.
I don't know now. He's after care. When can he go back? Because the other puppy, he's well now also, but they're family actually.
Okay, yes.
And so I go and visit them. And they have two dogs and babysit another dog.
Okay.
And so I don't know, when can I take him back to play with them?
All righty. Well, I'll ask a couple of questions, Denise. So when has your dog finished the antibiotics?
Yes. Approximately a week. Oh, would it be a week ago? About 5 days ago.
Okay. And how's the coughing? Where's that up to?
Well, barely at all, but like once or twice a day, he might give a cough.
More
and
compared to like before he had kennel cough, he wouldn't have done that?
No, and I wasn't sure it was related. Like it frightened me because I thought, oh no, don't say he's not better. He's getting sick again.
Yeah, okay.
But his appetite is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
He's, like I said, 15-year-old.
Yeah, okay.
And he's adorable and all that, so I love him very much. And so just aftercare, and he was not vaccinated.
Okay.
Had him vaccinated, but he was well overdue.
Yeah, okay. I will touch on vaccination as well, Denise, because I think it's important for our listeners to know. But kennel cough infection is absolutely rampant at the moment. It is everywhere. We are seeing multiple cases a week, some days multiple cases a day. So it definitely is out there. And my general rule of thumb is if the dog hasn't been coughing for a week, then it's okay to go out and about.
Okay. All right.
Would I
be able to take him to my family home with their dog?
Is this one of the dogs that had the kennel cough?
Yes.
And
they come down with it about the same time.
Yeah, okay. So that probably means that the dogs in that environment have already been exposed with this other dog, okay? So
yes.
You're not going to be introducing anything that wasn't already there. Okay. Having said that, it sounds like you probably need to wait a little bit longer yet. So we need a week without coughing.
Yes. All
okay.
Right.
But yes, I mean, at 15 years old, as you know, we can get a bit complacent sometimes thinking, oh, you know, we don't need to keep up the vaccines because he's had them every year and, you know, that sort of thing. But kennel cough is one of these vaccines that really does only last around 12 months.
Right.
And it
so
is.
I should take him soon
to get his vaccination.
Yes.
Yeah. Speak to your vet. I'm not sure sort of when he was due and that sort of thing. Having had the infection, he will have some residual protection, but definitely once he's well, you know, probably in a few weeks' time, I'd get him back up to date with his vaccine.
Thank you so very much for that.
No problem. Have a good day, Denise.
Yes, and you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Denise. Next, we have Charlie from Newcastle. Hi, Charlie.
Hello. How are you?
Good, thank you. You've got a licking cavoodle.
I've got a cavoodle that constantly licks, correct.
Okay. And how old's your dog, Charlie?
Eight years old.
Okay. And have they always done it?
It has always, yes.
Yeah, okay. And I'm assuming it's bothering people, like just constant and annoying, yeah. Is it?
Yes.
Okay. So licking is pretty much a habit for dogs. Think of it like jumping, you know, jumping on people. It is a habit. And what inadvertently happens is when, say the dog licks your hand or licks your leg or something, you probably then pat the dog. Or even if you push it away, it's still attention. So the dog's licking, thinking it's then going to get attention. Yep. Is probably the case. So what we want to be starting with, is it mainly licking people that's the issue? Does it lick like furniture or the floor?
No, just people.
Just people, yeah. So what we want to be doing is either remove the temptation. So if your hand's kind of hanging down, you know, maybe move your hand away. And if the dog's sitting there to start with, you're probably only going to get a few seconds. If the dog's sitting there not licking, then we reward. Whether it's a pat or whether it's a treat, that sort of thing, that would be where I would start, Charlie. Is that something that you think might work for him?
I can try that. So it's not lacking nothing. It's not lacking any vitamins or anything.
No, correct. It's a habit. It's a learnt habit. And it normally stems from them just wanting to love you, basically. so it's just a habit that has developed. In some breeds, it's more common than others, but... We want to be not rewarding the licking. We want to be rewarding the not licking.
Lovely. Thanks very much for that.
No problem. So see how you go. But, yeah, it'll take a bit of time, but I think with some food motivation, I would expect to get pretty good results.
Okay. Thank you.
No worries. Good luck with that.
All the best, Charlie. Now, Fiona, you want to talk about obesity in pets.
Yes, it is a fairly common complaint or health issue that we see in our cats and dogs. And often owners don't notice it as much as maybe we do because they're seeing their pet all the time, you know, all day, every day. So they're not noticing those little gains or losses in weight as the case may be. So there's a really good reference for clients and how we measure a pet's weight or body condition is called a body condition score. So there's a score between 1 and 9, and 1 is very, very skinny and 9 is very, very fat.
Right.
So a good healthy body condition score is around 4 to 5, so in the middle. And that body condition score, there's some lovely pictures and it's very easy to find online, a sort of a scoring picture, for want of a better word, to help owners. So it's a visual reference for what your pet should look like, but then there's also some attached sort of things that you should be looking for. So it's quite helpful and it's really easy to do at home. So to start with, you want to look at your pet. So if you look at them from the top, you need to see a waist that goes in between their ribs and their hips. When you look at them from the side, you want to see their tummy tuck upwards towards their back legs. And when you look at them from the front, you want to see that their chest is wider than their tummy. And then after you've looked at those things, you want to feel the dog's coat or the cat's coat. So ribs, we should be able to feel them. We don't want to be able to see them, but we do want to be able to feel them. And we want their waist to taper in. After their ribs, you want to taper inwards. And this is something you can feel over your pet once a month and just be like, oh, actually, I think I can't feel those ribs as well as I could last time or that sort of thing. So that can be a way to keep on top of it, definitely. There are huge health benefits, as we would all know. It's the same for us for being a healthy weight as opposed to being overweight. Overweight pets are much more likely to have arthritis in their joints. They're much more likely to get things like diabetes and heart disease as well. So there are lots of health benefits and reasons that we want our pets to maintain a healthy weight. Now, there are some breed differences, obviously. You know, if you think of a greyhound, what you'd be wanting for body condition score is probably quite different to what you'd be wanting for maybe a bulldog. Okay, so there are some breed differences, but we can still use those looking and feeling techniques with some body condition score to help determine our pet's healthy weight. Now, if you've decided from this chart or if your vet's told you that your pet's overweight, it probably is. A lot of people don't want to, I guess, think that maybe they're killing their pet with kindness, but often that's what happens. So really good idea if your pet is overweight to take them for a health check to the vet. Make sure there's not a health reason why they could be overweight. We do want to give them a clean bill of health before we start thinking about restricting calories and increasing exercise. Portion control, very important. Just like in people, you can eat lots of healthy food, but if you eat too much of it, it's still too much in the way of calorie intake. So portion control, very important. Often on the whatever's on the back of the pet food packet is a guide. Okay, some pets will need more, some pets will need less. So don't feel bad if you end up needing to feed less than what the packet says, because your pet, obviously, that's just what they need. Activity, really important. We do want our pets to be having it, particularly for dogs, and we want to be having our pets to take them for a daily walk. Now, it is hard with how hot and humid it's been of late. So pick, you know, early morning, late afternoon exercise. And for things like cats, if they do like, you know, chasing up and down the hallway or even making making a bit of an obstacle course for them, you know, so they've got to jump around things or through tunnels or just making it any way you can really to increase their activity levels. And then if you are doing training with treats, just be mindful, you know, if you're trying to get your dog to lose weight, maybe we need to use, if we need high value treats for training, then we need to cut back the other food appropriately. Because we still want to be thinking about, again, same with people, less calories, more exercise.
And yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, look, this is really not mind-blowing stuff, Amanda, but just taking it back to basics, less food, more exercise, get them checked out by the vet if you're worried to make sure there's not a metabolic reason. Mm-hmm. But body condition score can be really helpful if people want to have a bit of a look online and assess your pet and see what their body condition score is.
Wonderful. All right. Well, thank you for that. And we might touch on that a bit later. In the meantime, we're just going to head to Paul from Madawi. Hi, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Now, you've got a query about joint health in an older dog.
Yeah, so I've got Zali. She's about 14 and a half. She's a small Kelpie. She's in good nick. I was just having a listen to the the body score and that, and she's quite well there, but she is quite weak in her hips. You know, if you were to give her even just a slight push, you know, she'll quite often she can go down in the back end.
Okay.
She doesn't seem to be in pain. I've made a bit of a ramp to make it easier for her to get onto our back deck and things like that. She runs okay for an older dog. We've got a younger dog as well, and we're on an acre. She'll run around with her at times, not for as long as she used to, and she can't chase the sprinkler like she used to.
But yeah, okay.
I've got her on a rose hip supplement, and I guess I wanted to ask your opinion on the efficacy of those sort of supplements for a dog of her age and condition, and whether there's anything else that I might sort of do for her.
Yeah, okay. So would you say, Paul, short answer, yes, there's absolutely lots of things I can recommend. You mentioned that you've made a ramp. Is that because she can't use the stairs or she struggles with the stairs?
She can. She tends to go up at an angle couple of steps. You know, she'll go front legs, then back legs come up sort of beside her. So
yeah, okay.
It's a little bit of a job for her.
Yeah, so sort of a bit much more tentative than probably she used to be.
Definitely. She was always a very active dog. I did quite a bit of training and stuff with her, not agility and stuff, but, quite an active dog and she was quite fast when she was younger. But, of course, now she's, 100 in human years.
Yeah, look, down a bit. Yeah, she is certainly getting on there, Paul. Has she had a health check, like has a vet checked her over, say, in the last 6 to 12 months with regards to arthritis and joint health at all?
So she has her annual check and she's been great. The only time she's visited a vet is for her annual needles.
Annual checkups, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, they've had a look at her there. They've poked and prodded, and while she's a little bit stiffer and not quite as flexible in the joints. Mm. There was no real pain there. So
okay. All right.
Yeah.
So what I would suggest, and it's a fairly sweeping statement, but I'm also very confident it's true. She 100% would have arthritis, just purely given her age and given the fact that you've said she was a young, active dog. You know, she will have arthritis there. Yeah. What we often see with dogs, you know, you mentioned the word that she's not in pain. So often if they're limping around, it's not the only way that they'll show joint pain. What they'll do is they'll stop doing things that they used to do, okay?
Right.
So if she used to, and, you know, I'm exaggerating a little, but if she used to bound up the stairs and now it's one at a time, slowly, slowly, that's her way of trying to minimise discomfort when she's moving around, okay?
Right.
So what I would really encourage you to do, again, I can't see her, so it's a little bit hard to be precise with my recommendations, but I would suggest getting her checked over by the vets, only because the things that they will recommend, we need like a before and after so that we know, is it working? Is it helping her? Is it helping her 80%? Is it helping her 5%? Do we need to add in some extra treatment? But for old dogs with arthritis, there's, you know, easily half a dozen different medications we can give them. Some are injection form, some are supplement form, some are tablet form. So lots and lots and lots of things we can do to help her. And what you mentioned, the rose hip vital. So that's certainly not going to cause her any ill effects. But I would comment that at her stage and age, it's not going to be enough.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So I would be wanting to add in some extra things dependent on finances, dependent on her mobility, depending on the range of motion of her joints and what your vet thinks. There's a number of different things we can do to help her. But building the ramp, for example, was perfect. That was a really good way of helping her navigate what, you know, her day-to-day life.
Yep. Yeah, okay.
But yeah, so I would recommend getting it checked over. There are a number of supplements you can buy over the counter. But the things that are going to make the most difference for her are via prescription or by dispensing from a vet.
Yeah, okay. All right. No worries. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks for that, Paul.
Thank you. Bye.
We are going to our Pets of the Week on our 2NURFM website, and we're going to start with Pepper.
Yes, they're a cute pair today, Pepper and Paige. So Pepper is a 2-year-old Staffy Bull Terrier mix by the looks of her. Loves people, loves playing, loves cuddling. I can imagine her zoomies would be very epic. they would be very fun to watch. Loves playing with her toys and throwing them around. So entertainment for her and also entertainment for her spectators. loves going for walks, is working on her lead skills, is interested in dogs when she's on a walk and will have a sniff through a fence, so that's a really good sign. Takes a little bit to warm to new people, but once she knows you, she will be your bestie forever. Untested on cats, untested on a living dog. So she sounds like she's got plenty of potential for an active family who love her, you know, a medium to large size active dog would probably provide entertainment for the kids as well as vice versa.
Well, next we've got Paige. Now, Paige,
yes,
she's so
Amanda
gorgeous.
Is enamoured with
yes,
Paige.
She looks like my cat, Tiffany Two Socks McCreed, and a little bit. The nose is slightly different, but and she's got a bigger waistcoat, but she's grey. She's got like just, oh, she's just beautiful.
She is pretty cute.
The kids did want her. We wanted to get a second cat when I showed them the picture, and we had to say sorry.
Well, no. That means she's still up for grabs. So Paige is a 3-year-old grey and white cat, medium length coat. So she's kind of got that beautiful medium-ish length coat. Oh, medium
lovely
coat.
The pat.
Yeah, super cute. Little white socks. She's a big kitten who loves to play, so loves people, loves a chat apparently, so that's pretty cute. Her favourite thing is snuggling on your lap. very confident, happy to walk up to new people and say hello. So that's a slightly unusual cat characteristic. So if you want a bit of an extrovert cat, she may well be the one for you. Loves her food, leaves the bowl sparkling clean. So, yes, she'll be one that you'll have to keep an eye on her body condition
score. Yeah, make sure she doesn't become overweight.
And she's pretty good at grooming herself, which is always nice with a medium length coat. Confident, gentle, great with kids of all ages. Seems to get on well with other cats, and pretty easygoing personality. So she's got lots of ticks.
And so if she's anything like my cat, I would say yes, check her out. She's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. If you'd like to have a look at the Pets of the Week, you can head to our website, 2NURFM.com.au. Click on the lifestyle programs. You'd find Pet Chat there, and then click on our Pet of the Week. This is Pet Chat on 2NURFM, and Dr. Fiona, we are talking about kennel cough.
Yes, so Denise did call up earlier talking about her poodle that had kennel cough, and I just wanted to circle back on it because, as I said, there's so much of it at the moment in Newcastle and the surrounding area. So kennel cough is something that we do vaccinate our dogs against, not our cats, but our dogs. And the vaccination is effective against one component of kennel cough. So the kennel cough infection is actually a little bit, probably the easiest way to explain it is that the infection is a little bit viral and a little little bit bacterial. So the viral component we can protect with the vaccination. The bacterial component we can't. So any dog that's up to date with their vaccinations that gets kennel cough, the duration will be shorter and the severity of the infection will be less.
Right.
So even though the vaccination doesn't 100% protect against kennel cough, it is still definitely beneficial for our dogs to be vaccinated because they have that level of immunity then to ensure that they aren't as sick if
so
they do
like
get infected.
A lot of vaccinations pretty much. You're just having that to make sure that if you do get whatever it is, that it's not going to be as severe as if you weren't vaccinated.
Correct. Right. Correct. And also we've got an element of therefore protecting patients that can't be vaccinated. You know, this concept of herd immunity, which is important to help protect those pets that can't be vaccinated for whatever reason.
Okay. Well, I've got a question just quickly. My cat keeps eating paper.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So I'll be trying to do some work and she'll start eating paper from my diary. Any kind of paper that's around. Same goes when she's downstairs in the office. Husband came down and found that she'd eaten some of his work.
I'm sorry, boss. I couldn't complete that. The cat ate my homework.
That's exactly right. I didn't think it was a thing, but apparently it is.
So how old is Tiffany now?
She's 2.
Okay. All right. So still on the young side, definitely. Cats are often, I would use the analogy of a toddler. They stick things in their mouth. So a lot of cats, puppies, kids explore using their mouth because they've got a lot of nerve endings in their mouth and often it's a real tactile thing. I'd be very interested now that we've had this chat whether you think she's actually chewing it and swallowing it or whether you think she's just playing with it with her mouth.
Yeah, I don't know. I did notice once that she'd bitten the corner off my diary and I couldn't find the corner, but it was only like a tiny bit.
Yeah,
so I think if she's eating it, she's just having a little nibble.
Yeah.
She's not fully eating a whole piece of paper or anything like that.
Well, luckily for her, paper is digestible. A lot of cats, particularly our Orientals, have a real obsession with rubber. So hair elastics and like Nerf gun bullets and elastic bands, they are not easily digestible. So they're a real foreign body risk. Mm-hmm. I think in terms of Tiffany, if you know she's going to do it, try and minimise her access to it.
Oh, okay. She's got access to the whole house. So she just
It like paper that's sort of strewn over that instead you could maybe put in a pile and – put in her cupboard, that sort of thing.
Yeah, try that. Mm. Yeah, but she tries to do it while we're actually working. So,
oh, that's very helpful.
I know. She's an interesting cat, but anyway.
Yes. Well, yeah, look, I can't fix her. Sorry, Amanda.
You can't fix her. Oh, all right. Well, we'll just have to put up with her. Well, luckily she's
cute. You love her. Yes.
Well, thank you very much. It's been great to talk to you.
Absolutely.
And we'll catch you next week.
Sounds good. Yes, I'll be back.
To a new RFM.